This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
My old man said...
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and joining me for this quick Fulham preview, Chris Budd.
Hello, sir.
Welcome again.
Thank you very much.
And we're still out on location. So, Fulham slipped up in their last game, did they not?
A draw at Bolton.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bolton.
Although you didn't do anything against Cardiff, but never mind Bolton. We'll take it where we can get it. Before Villa beat the Blues, Fulham had the best, even though we're 100% in 2018, Fulham actually pipped us on goal difference. They also were 100%, and I saw them as a real threat. I kind of thought Derby and them would be the threat for that other automatic promotion spot. Obviously, Wolves, you pretty much signed off on them. So this game away against Fulham, I thought was bigger in terms of the promotion picture than the actual Blues Derby.
I think it's a genuine rivalry. You know, you look at the form table, it's first v second. You know, Villa have won 7 on the bounce. Fulham have won, before the Bolton game, had won 5. They've drawn. You know, there's two teams who are banging form. They're both scoring goals. They're not conceding many.
But also, we got our asses handed to us when we played at Craven Cottage at the end of last season.
Yeah, our recent record down there is not great.
No, I mean, we got beat 3-1 last time, but I mean, people will point to the fact that Codger got sent off after like 20, 22 minutes, but we could have been like 2 or 3 nil down by then anyway. And even though Grealish pulled a goal back the other side of half time to give it a semblance of a contest, it was too little, too late, and they just destroyed us, and it could have been 4 or 5 in the end.
No, I think they're a good side, aren't they? And I think they would, by their own admission, expect to be around about where we are. Maybe the players they've got and the way they play. I think the manager has done a good job there. He's got them playing a really good sort of brand of football.
I think Sessegnon is symbolic of how they play, actually, like fast, and they play football. And I think you told me earlier on their possession rates.
Yeah, and they're averaging about, certainly in the last 5 or 6 games, it's around about 64, 65% of the ball. So they absolutely dominate possession against the teams they play against. Certainly that's been the case when I've seen them at Villa Park. You know, they have a lot of the ball. They haven't always done a lot with it, but they will sort of monopolise possession. I think, especially with the way Bruce has the team set up at the moment, he'll probably be happy with them to have the ball.
Well, and this could be Bruce's dream opportunity to play 3 defensive midfielders. You'd have Bjarnason, Wheel and Jedinak all together. But it could be a game where we have to be a bit patient and maybe snatch it.
I think it's one of those games where you go there maybe not expecting to win, but the win would be a huge statement to the rest of the league, especially with Derby having dropped points at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, it'd be the perfect time. I think we get a 4-point gap on Derby with a win.
And then we'll have a 10-point gap on Fulham as well.
Yeah, who I think at the start of the season would have probably thought, you know, they'd be a real rival of Villa's. You know, they're slowly sort of catching up the pack.
Problem is, though, for Fulham, after they play us, they have probably one of, in terms of championship, they have one of the most unfriendly February and Marches. They've got to play, after Villa, they've got to play Bristol away, then they play Wolves at home, then they play Derby away, Then they play Sheffield United at home, and then they play Preston, who are just one place out of the playoffs at the moment, play them away. So that's next six games, including Villa, are pretty much all against promotion rivals.
Yeah, I think
if they win them all, then I think they're going to get automatic.
I think they can have a real bearing on what happens in our season, just for the teams around us.
Yeah.
You know, I think if they could go to Derby and get a result again, that's great for us and good for them. I think there's, you know, with Wolves.
Exactly. If we beat Fulham, then that gives us a 10-point cushion, and then they can set about the rest of the playoff teams and kind of get rid of them for us.
Yeah.
As long as we keep picking up points, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's we're at that point now where now we've got second, it's how our approach will be key now, whether we're constantly looking over our shoulder or if we're going to try and chase Wolves, which I think might be the better way to go.
It'd be interesting to see how Fulham set up against Villa to see how they actually respect us or see us as a threat, because normally they play 4-3-3 at home, but then they switch to a 4-2-3-1 when they play away from home. So if they go 4-3-3 against us, they obviously they don't really care about us, and you know, they fancy it to go for our throats rather than, you know, have a war of attrition and try to win it by playing the way they play away.
Yeah, I think you'd have thought they'd have a go being the home side, but I think they'll be cautious of what Villa. No, the way that Villa have been playing recently, and also the, you know, the players that we've got now in form, the likes of Grealish haven't really been in the equation when we played them earlier in the season. I think the style of football we play is certainly different to when we played them in September, October time. I think they'll be cautious, but I think they'll also be cautious of not playing into Villa's hands.
Yeah,
I think Bruce will probably be more than happy to let them have the ball in their own half, and we'll pick them off.
Yeah, I mean, saying that they destroyed us last time, I mean, obviously we've got a different team this time, so that's the big news.
I think having, you know, the likes of sort of Hogan and Snodgrass going forward, it gives us a different way to play away from home. You know, we're not relying on the big guy up front and playing back to front as we would have done last year. I think both teams will play football.
I mean, looking at their team, they've started Rui Fonte, who's Portuguese, used to be the captain of Braga, who was actually at Arsenal at one time. He normally starts as their forward man, but Kamara, who they normally bring on, has actually scored more goals than him. So they've got this issue of they don't really know who to play up front as their centre forward. Obviously, Sessegnon is their top scorer, and he's played more games at left back, I think, than left midfield this season.
I think they've spread the goals out between the teams, sort of similarly to us a little bit. You know, they don't have that one talisman up top, but I think they've got sort of two or three guys who can really hurt you coming from midfield. So it'll be certainly something I'm sure Bruce will be aware of, is who's going to play in the sort of the central
who would you play out of. I mean, we're talking Fulham as a team that is pretty fast in attack, and Bruce brought in Jedinak to obviously deal with the Gallagher threat against the Blues. Who would you go for out of him and Bjarnason against Fulham?
Now, I'd put Bjarnason back in just for the legs around the field, but I actually think Bruce will probably stick with his usual sort of mantra of not changing a winning team.
Yeah, but before the Blues game, we'd won six games and Bjarnason had played the last couple.
As you said, he might play both.
And make Whelan the captain.
It's definitely one of the away games that the actual Villa fans look forward to every year. I know that. It's kind of, you know, that you always get a huge allocation there. It's very much not an intimidating place to go. It's good crack down there. Good day out.
They've got the neutral zone, which some Villa fans take advantage of as well.
Yeah, I think we're taking about 4,500, just over 4,000 down there. So it'll be we'll be well supported. As I think is going to be the case now, I think post-Blues, you know, the club are really sort of going on the offensive to get the fans back with season tickets, and I think we'll be taking a lot away from home wherever we go.
Yeah. I mean, in relation to the Fulham game, Ian Edwards on Twitter asks, what should the game plan for Fulham be? Go negative to secure a point, or play with more positive attitude and let Fulham worry about stopping us?
It's just more of the same, isn't it? I don't think you necessarily go in to play for a draw.
But Ian, if you know anything about Bruce, you know exactly what's going to happen. And not knocking Bruce, I'm just saying that's his mentality, especially away from home.
Yeah, I think we'll go there and we'll definitely aim to be solid.
Yeah. Another question from Marcus, is if we win promotion, which players in the current squad are good enough for the Premier League?
I think with that, a lot of it's dependent on of the loan guys. Who stays and who goes, because you know they've almost built a spine of the team from loan signings.
Well, this is the thing, because of the precarious situation of financial fair play, and if the danger of not getting promoted, one thing Villa have done, they've built a decent team and they've got decent players on that short term, either the ageing old pro on like short contract like Terry, or they brought in pretty decent loans. I mean, Snodgrass, Johnson, Anomar, Grabon.
Yeah, Twanzabe.
You'd be hard pushed to get better loans, you know, for the situation. So we're going to have to rebuild a team, pretty much, well, half a team at least, from scratch straight away.
Yeah, I think
whether
think
we stay down or go up.
I think a few all probably want to stay. I think Snodgrass I could see wanting to leave West Ham. I think Johnson would maybe get a permanent move.
Definitely you want to keep Johnson. Snodgrass, is he good enough for the Premier League?
I think he's very much a squad player.
Yeah.
You know, in a struggling Premier League side, it's, you know, it's kind of where you set the bar for next season. If you go up, it's,
I mean, the similar thing about Chester. Is Chester a top centre back for the Premier League? Because he was in the squad at West Brom, even though he's playing in the semi-finals of the European Championships.
Yeah, I think with him, it'll be a case of who his partner is. You know,
yeah.
Would you get another year out of him?
I think you forget about Terry.
Yeah, I think he'll be either abroad or he may retire.
I think. If he gets promoted with Villa, I think that's like a decent swan song. He remains a winner because, as Dan said last time, you just have to look at Rio Ferdinand. What happens when?
Yeah, when he went to QPR. And
yeah, you're playing for a team you're not that committed to, as in comparison to the team that made you.
Yeah, I don't think he's got anything to prove either.
Coming
to Villa, he's done an amazing job. I think if anything, it makes his stock a little bit better.
Because I think he wanted to play football. That's why he came to Villa. I mean, this notion of but he might not want to play in the Premier League because he doesn't want to play Chelsea. No, he's 38 years old.
Yes.
It's not about, I don't want to play against Chelsea. I mean, that's only two games. I mean, you can write that into a contract or something. We've seen a couple, you know, against Burton, there was a potential slip up there for their second goal, although somebody said the ball deflected off Jedinak. That's why.
Yeah, I think he has a mistake in him, but then most teams do in the Championship.
Yeah, you play Manchester City and Terry's in your centre of defence and he's 38, 39.
Yeah, I think, you know, you put him against a top quality attacking trio or more, they're going to rip him to pieces,
yeah,
I think.
No, exactly.
This point in his career, because they'll find the weakness.
So I think Terry, I think that's a one season thing. I think the same thing with Hutton. You know, the Birmingham Mail say it's the hot topic of the week. Should he have a contract or not? If you're in the Premier League, you failed us in the Premier League. That's why we got relegated.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, players do tend to play out their skins when they're in the last season of their contract.
No names, Gabby. I think we've got the bits and pieces of a squad, but I don't think anybody's under any illusion that if we were to go up, we'd have to invest pretty heavily.
If the
doctor is talking about sort of pushing on, either consolidating or pushing much further at the table, I don't see sort of a spine to a really strong Premier League side yet.
To answer the question, I think Grealish
would probably be a starter.
Yeah.
Chester would probably be a starter.
Yeah.
As would Johnson if he was there.
Yeah. Adomar?
Maybe. I think he's one of the kind of the borderline ones. I think he's definitely going to be in and around a team.
Because he's another player that already got promoted with a team and they pretty much relegated
him straight away, didn't they?
Which happens, you know, to a lot of players. They can be heroes. Like, you know, Tommy Elphick was a hero for
Bournemouth.
For Bournemouth, captured them to promotion and then, sorry mate, not good enough for this league.
Yeah, I think Taylor would probably be in and amongst it.
Yeah, what, playing or getting rid?
I think he'd probably stay. I think they'd probably have to get cover.
Yeah.
Or, well, someone to give him competition.
Or he would be the
cover.
Yeah,
I think he'd definitely come into the team over Hutton. He's obviously younger. He's an
Well, Hutton won't
player.
Be there.
Yeah. And also, Taylor's he's an international player in his own right. You know, he's a good player. He's probably one of few who can consider himself quite unlucky to not be in the team at the moment.
So, Conor Hourihan?
I think he's unproven, I suppose, that level. No one really knows. I think he'd definitely get a shot. I don't know if he's going to be a regular starter for you.
Because you never know, that he's a player that the Premier League may suit him more than the Championship does.
Quite possibly. I mean,
if you know what I'm saying, it's not like this.
There's been an endless list of players who've come from lower leagues, come through and made a real impact. You just don't know with him.
Because some players, I mean, like, you know, David Platt going back, you know, he was playing in the lower leagues where it's a lot more physical and, you know, let's say a bit dirtier. But when you're up in the top league and you've got a bit of ability, and Hourihan is technically good, this, you know, may be a better platform for him to shine as opposed to where he is now.
I think so. Maybe even, you know, there was talk earlier in the year of some Premier League teams looking at Davis. It would be interesting to see if he'd become a different entity in the Premier League, you know, for having a very similar sort of journey to like a Jamie Vardy, coming right through non-league and, you know, not coming through the academy system. And I think he'll, you know, there'll be a lot of guys there who'll feel that.
Henry Lansbury?
I think he'll probably find himself
Charlton, or somewhere
further down the pecking order, unfortunately. Which is, I suppose, it's a shame for him, but it's kind of a a good problem to have, especially this year for Villa, in that to have someone of that quality and consistency in the Championship level who can't even get on the bench, it sort of shows where we're at right now.
Yeah,
I think Green would probably feel he's deserving of a shot in the Premier League.
Because you've got this strange position where you've got players like Jedinek and Whelan who are getting on in terms of Premier League terms, but they've got a contract now that sees them obviously still contracted to Villa next season, but I can't see those two playing.
I don't think neither of them are they're never going to be starters. I think you'd probably maybe keep one of them. I could actually see Jedinek with his injury record potentially hanging up his boots. If Villa were to go up, I think that would be a positive way to end his career. I think I don't necessarily feel he'd last a 38 game season in the Premier League.
I think Jedinek will play the World Cup and then he'll reassess his career after that, because I mean after that World Cup his motivation's going to drop a little bit. In terms of if he's sitting on the bench in the Premier League for Villa and hardly seeing a game when he could be, like, I don't know, going back to Australia and playing regularly and still playing for the international team, because I think he wants to defend, what's that, like Asia Cup or something that they play in?
Oceania.
I think he's actually on record saying that he wants to be around to defend that, so that's like, I don't know, 2 years time or whatever. So I don't think he's going to hang his boots up next season.
No, I just don't think he's not going to cut it at the top level anymore. And I think, and, you know, he would probably admit himself, you know, with his injury record, he's falling apart.
Scott Hogan,
similarly to Courahan, I suppose, you know, he's kind of unproven. I think again he'd probably be deserving of a shot.
I think
that they would definitely earmark a really top quality striker who is proven at a higher level.
To be honest, and I'm not just saying this because he's the flavour of the month, but I think Hogan has a better chance to be a Premier League player than Jonathan Codger has.
I think he's got the attributes, you know, he's got the pace, he's a natural finisher.
There's a reason why Jonathan Codger isn't a Premier League player at the moment.
Yeah, having scored consistently, you know, obviously injury aside, he has consistently scored goals, but clearly somebody in the Premier League has seen something they don't like. Similarly, I suppose a couple of years ago to Ross McCormack, you know, he scored a lot of goals very consistently for four or five seasons, but there was a reason why the Premier League sides weren't coming in for him.
And, you know, in Codger's case, the reason is, well, if you were to generalise, it would be his selfishness, and he's not really a team player. And as he did, you know, he scored 19 goals for Villa, scored 18, 19 for Bristol, and both of those teams, when he scored those goals, finished in the bottom half.
Yeah,
which suggests he's not contributing to make the team better.
Yeah, I think he's not at the calibre to build a Premier League team around him, which you'd have to do.
I mean, Benteke brought players into the game more, but I think he would exist as a squad player. I mean, bring him off the bench.
I think he's a good option to have.
He's direct. If you're chasing a game,
I think we've got, as I said, the makings of a lot of sort of solid squad players. I just look down the list and think, well, where are those real sort of, you know, the cherries on top that are going to win you matches against either the better teams or when things get, you know, quite tough.
Yeah. It's going to be a big rebuild job, and I think you can count on one hand the players that will have any chance of really getting in the first 11. Maybe we can buy Ryan Session from Fulham once we put an end to their promotion aspirations. Right, on that note, that's just a little extra looking at the Fulham game in isolation. But going back to the other podcast, if you do have an allegedly story, please do email it in on contact@myoldmansaid.com. Until next week, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.